When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Annabelle Enigma. Cursed cloth and spectral calamities. True horror unveiled. Welcome True Crime and the Unknown fans to another chilling journey into the shadowed archives of the supernatural here on Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we delve into a tale whispered in hushed tones, a story so deeply ingrained in the tapestry of modern horror that its very name evokes a primal dread. We speak, of course, of Annabelle. Forget the porcelain visage of the silver screen, the cracked and menacing grin that has haunted millions of nightmares. Tonight, we unearth the true, historical horror of the original Annabelle, a seemingly innocent Raggedy Ann doll whose crimson yarn hair and painted smile mask a chilling, malevolent presence. For those who seek the genuine, spine-tingling terror of the unexplained, this episode is a deep dive into the historical anomalies and tragic deaths inextricably linked to this cursed cloth. Our narrative begins in the unsuspecting year of 1970, a time when tie-dye and free love reigned, and the world seemed to be shedding its old fears. Yet, in a quiet Connecticut apartment, a new, far more ancient terror was stirring. A young nursing student, Donna, received a seemingly innocuous birthday gift from her mother, a charming, if a little quirky, Raggedy Ann doll. Donna, delighted by the thoughtful gesture, placed the doll on her living room sofa. A simple act, yet one that would unravel a tapestry of spectral calamities and grim misfortune. Initially, Annabelle was nothing more than a whimsical decoration, but soon subtle shifts began. The doll would move. Not dramatically, not in a way that screamed haunting, but rather in the disconcerting manner of an object subtly defying its last known position. Donna and her roommate, Angie, would leave Annabelle propped on the sofa, only to return home to find her seated at the kitchen table, or perhaps even in a different room entirely. At first, they dismissed it, attributing it to absent-mindedness or a playful prank, but the movements grew bolder, more frequent, imbued with an undeniable, unsettling purpose. This seemingly innocent plaything, a symbol of childhood comfort, was becoming a silent, watchful presence, a shadowy observer in their daily lives. Then came the notes. Scattered around the apartment, on parchment paper that neither Donna nor Angie owned, appeared messages scrawled in what appeared to be a child's shaky hand. Help me. Help us. The words were simple, yet they pulsed with an unspoken plea, a desperate cry from an unseen entity. This was no mere poltergeist activity. This was communication, a terrifying attempt to bridge the veil between worlds. The girls, deeply compassionate, felt a growing pity for the purported spirit. They believed a young girl, perhaps a child named Annabelle Higgins, who had tragically died on the property where their apartment complex now stood, was reaching out. This empathy, however, proved to be a fatal miscalculation. It was, according to renowned paranormal investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren, precisely what the entity inhabiting the doll desired. For spirits, true demonic entities, do not possess inanimate objects. They manipulate them. They attach themselves, creating the illusion of life and sentience to gain recognition, to foster a connection that can then be exploited for a far more sinister goal, human possession. The situation escalated. A friend of the roommates, a man named Lou, was deeply skeptical, openly disdaining the notion of a haunted doll. His disbelief, however, only seemed to provoke the malevolent force. Lou began to experience terrifying nightmares, vivid visions of Annabelle attacking him. One fateful afternoon, he awoke from a nap on the sofa in utter terror, clutching his throat. When he lowered his hands, raw, angry claw marks, as if from some unseen beast, raked across his chest. This was no dream. This was a brutal, physical assault, a chilling manifestation of the doll's growing power. The marks were a visceral reminder of the dark entity's wrath, a grim warning etched into his very flesh. It was this horrific incident that finally compelled Donna and Angie to seek help. They contacted the High Episcopal Church in Hartford, who, in turn, connected them with the famed demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren. The Warrens, seasoned veterans of the paranormal, arrived at the apartment, their presence a stark contrast to the innocent dwelling. Their investigation quickly unveiled a truth far more terrifying than a lonely child spirit. They concluded that Annabelle was not possessed by the benevolent spirit of a young girl, but rather manipulated by an inhuman, demonic entity, an ancient evil preying on the women's sympathy. The seance, meant to help, had instead opened a doorway, inviting the entity to deepen its hold. The apartment, they determined, was infested, and the seemingly innocuous Raggedy Ann doll was its malevolent conduit. Recognizing the escalating danger, the Warrens knew Annabelle could not remain. After an exorcism of the apartment by Father Cook, designed to cleanse the space, the Warrens took possession of the doll. Their journey home was anything but peaceful. They deliberately chose back roads, fearing the doll's influence on the main highway. Yet, even on those quieter routes, their car was plagued by inexplicable malfunctions. The power steering failed, the brakes seized, the engine sputtered and died. It was only when Ed Warren, with practiced resolve, doused the doll with holy water that the vehicle miraculously stabilized. This harrowing drive was a stark testament to the malevolent power clinging to the doll, a premonition of the insidious dangers that lay ahead. Upon arriving at their infamous occult museum in Monroe, Connecticut, the Warrens immediately placed Annabelle in a specially constructed, consecrated glass and wood case, reinforced with prayers and holy symbols. A stark warning was affixed. Positively, do not open. This was not merely a display, it was a containment unit, a prison for an entity too dangerous to be left unchecked. But even within the confines of her blessed prison, Annabelle's dark legend continued to grow, fueled by whispers and tragic coincidences. Stories abound of visitors to the museum who, in a moment of reckless bravado or foolish skepticism, dared to mock or challenge the doll. One such tale recounts a young priest, brimming with confidence and perhaps a touch of hubris, who visited the Warrens' museum. He allegedly scoffed at Annabelle, declaring her powerless, a mere doll. Ed Warren, ever the seasoned warning, cautioned him against such insolence. The priest, undeterred, dismissed their warnings with a dismissive laugh. Later that day, on his journey home, he was involved in a horrific, near-fatal car crash that utterly destroyed his brand-new vehicle. He claimed to have seen Annabelle in his rearview mirror just moments before the terrifying impact, her innocent face twisted into a grotesque, triumphant smirk. Another chilling account speaks of a young man, a motorcycle enthusiast, who visited the museum with his girlfriend. Filled with a dangerous blend of curiosity and derision, he reportedly rapped on Annabelle's glass case, taunting the doll, mocking the very idea of her malevolent power. Despite fervent warnings from the Warrens, he continued his reckless challenge. As he and his girlfriend rode away on his motorcycle, a sudden, inexplicable loss of control sent them careening into a tree. The young man was killed instantly, his life extinguished in a violent, sudden collision. His girlfriend, miraculously surviving, later recounted that they had been laughing about Annabelle moments before the catastrophic accident, a chilling, undeniable echo of the doll's dark influence. While the Warrens themselves were the primary purveyors of these stories, and hard evidence remains elusive, the sheer persistence and consistency of these tales, woven over decades, lend them a haunting weight. The Annabelle doll, a seemingly harmless child's toy, has become a potent symbol of demonic attachment, a chilling reminder that malevolence can reside in the most unexpected forms. Whether you believe in the spectral or merely the psychological power of suggestion, the story of Annabelle stands as a stark historical warning, a testament to the shadows that linger just beyond our comprehension. Even today, with the Warrens gone, their legacy and the Annabelle doll are carefully guarded by their son-in-law, Tony Sparer. The museum is currently closed to the public, adding another layer of mystique and unease to the doll's already formidable reputation. Recent viral rumors of her escape were swiftly debunked, but they ignited a global tremor of fear, demonstrating the enduring grip Annabelle holds on the collective imagination. She remains, secured within her consecrated case, a silent testament to the terrifying potential of the unexplained, a focal point for the whispers that emanate from the dark. And so, we conclude another unsettling chapter from the archives of Whispers from the Dark. The Annabelle doll, a seemingly benign plaything, continues to serve as a stark reminder of the fragile veil between our world and the chilling realms beyond. Her story, brimming with historical intrigue and terrifying anomalies, leaves us to ponder. What true horrors lurk in the shadows, waiting for an invitation? If you found yourself captivated by this episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Whispers from the Dark on Apple Podcasts. Your support helps us to continue unearthing these forgotten tales and bringing the chilling truth to light. Share this episode with a friend who appreciates a good historical horror story, and let the whispers spread. You can also find more content and connect with us on our social media platforms. Until next time, keep your lights on, your senses sharp, and remember, some whispers should never be ignored.